Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Schenk, and Joan Adams and I host this show. Our guest this evening is Heidi Walter, author and full-time internet marketer. She is currently editing a book for Maxine Jones about Saint Germain, one of Heidi's spiritual teachers. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. let me just bring in on Heidi. Hello, Heidi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hi,
oh, good.
Heidi.
Well, that's good. I'm glad we didn't have to go through the computer because I can't get on the internet now.
Oh,
We're in Chicago. We have really high winds today, so it's probably related to that.
Ah.
And nobody's hearing an echo, huh?
No echo. Well, that's
no echo.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah,
well, I'm happy to hear.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on your show. This is exciting.
Oh,
well, we're very excited, too. Very excited, yes. And I was watching some Saint Germain, or actually Maxine Jones, videos today,
mm-hmm.
and found her to be, was she in a trance? Because she seems so alert.
Well, it's fascinating. I've gotten readings from her for almost 20 years now with Saint Germain, and I have wonderful stories. I have so many Saint Germain stories that all of my friends laugh at me, like every other sentence coming out of my mouth is, well, Saint Germain says, you know, Saint Germain said, like, yes, we know, Heidi. She's not really in a trance. She is there, but she doesn't always pay attention because Saint Germain just comes through. And he, you know, a lot of people channel him too. It's not just Maxine, but she's the one I know. Oh, the book is incredible. The book that I'm editing for her?
Yes, yes.
Very empowering. It's all about agreements, all the agreements
yes.
that we make in order to function as human beings in the third dimension, and what to do when an agreement is something we don't want to go along with anymore. And, for instance, aging. We don't have to age. The body can get to a certain place. It doesn't have to age. But in the mass human consciousness, the belief is there, well, we have to age. But we don't. So it's really challenging, that issue. Another thing that he says is the human body was never designed to need food to survive. That there have
right.
been civilizations on Earth where nobody ever ate a thing. And years ago, there was a woman who came to Chicago who taught us a breath that she had learned from her guru in India on how to bring light into the body by using the breath so you don't need food. She wanted to lose 30 pounds. So she did this breath, and she did it for 6 months. Within a couple of months, she had lost the 30 pounds, and then she simply stayed where she wanted to stay. And then her teacher, her guru, came to her, must have been in a vision, and said she had to start eating again. And she said, why? I'm really enjoying this. He said, because you are too attached to not eating.
Mm-hmm.
So it was attachment is attachment, right?
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And she taught us all the breath, and I don't remember it anymore. But fascinating. She lives in California. She's American. And so there is a way of doing that, of simply using the breath. So fascinating.
Well, like you said, you don't have that information readily available. But that is, you know, I don't know if you've read Autobiography of a Yogi. I always bring it up.
I have not. No, I haven't read that one.
Well, in there, Yogananda talks about the different yogi. I guess what he did is went to visit miracles, people who we would not imagine could survive. You know, people, a woman with a stigmata, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty modern-day person in the 1930s when he wrote the book. And then this person who never had eaten or drank anything, like you said, for years and years and years. And
once you let go of that agreement, you can eat, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing she's talking about, or he or she is talking, you never know, is it Maxine, is it Saint Germain? In this book is humans can't fly. That's another human consciousness agreement. Well, why can't we fly? And she says in the book, do flying saucers have wings? Our airplanes have wings and a tail because we imitated birds by building those. But when you're having a dream and you're flying, do you have wings? No. So it's like she said, that's really quite an agreement to even challenge that agreement. You're like, ooh, I would love to just take off in the air.
Yeah. As we do in our dreams.
Yeah. In the dream, it's perfectly normal. I always start off flying in my dreams where I'm on a little bit of a cushion of air right above the ground, and then I go way up high. So I'm just sort of kind of feeling it out at first. So, yeah, Saint Germain is something. He gives a lot of predictions. Maxine's site, for anybody interested, is connectwithyoursoul.com. And you
I'll
can even just type in Maxine Jones and you'll get her. But so he's been my teacher and my, as I say on my website, my drill sergeant, you know, moving me forward. And he now says that he's going to teach me, he's going to teach me enlightenment lessons. And
cool.
I think, oh, exciting. So that may be something I may be able to pass on to people. I have no idea what form that's going to take, but he says I'm now ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay,
wow.
Okay. My hand goes up in the air, fine.
Well, now these agreements that you're talking about seem to be related to the what we have agreed to here on this plane of existence in regards to mass consciousness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he said they're essential. He said you can't just take them away because agreements make us feel safe, but they can also imprison us. We get into an agreement that says you have to be thus and so, and you can get to a place in your consciousness where you don't want that to be thus and so anymore, but you keep going along with it. It's familiar, like the one, you know, on eating and aging, and I'm noticing with my body kind of different eating patterns. I don't get as hungry, so I don't know what that's about, but we're just in a huge time of change anyway.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Where people are feeling a lot of anxiety. A friend of mine who lives out in New Hampshire in a very rural community said everyone seems very tense and tight and everything. And I thought, wow, of all places you think they'd be pretty relaxed rather than in a city where everybody's racing around. So So you watch some of the videos, huh? On Maxine's side?
Yeah. And, I was talking to my husband about Saint Germain, and he made this very interesting comment, and I was wondering if this would be something you have any knowledge about, that Saint Germain actually shows up at different times in human evolution, linear time, I guess you might say, to impart certain messages.
Oh, I'm sure. And he was, in the 1700s, he was in a body on Earth. He was Le Comte de Saint-Germain. He was French. He was an alchemist. He loved turning pebbles into precious gems, and he wore them. And he told me about 5 years ago in a reading that when he was in a body on Earth and going through what we were going through at that time, he raged for 5 years and destroyed everything he had ever created, all those gems. And later I said to Maxine, I know why, because he discovered when you get to a certain level of consciousness, you discover, well, none of that has any value. You know, you get to where you have value, where you are the divine, you know, where you experience the God within yourself. And you're like, oh, why do I have all this stuff? But he never aged either. And I've read somewhere that he took an elixir for that so he wouldn't age. But Voltaire knew him and said, well, Saint Germain, he's the man who never ages.
Oh.
But he always looked 40. But I did ask him once. He was talking to me about becoming eternal in form. And I was very interested in that. I thought, oh, good, I won't have to age. And I said, well, can you explain the difference? And Maxine just made a video on it, which I've put on Facebook and Twitter and everything, so people can go see that. It's on my website, the Heidi Walter site, too, on the blog page. And he talks about how we all have a form underneath these bodies. And I said, is that related to when that doctor in the 1800s weighed his patients who were dying, and he discovered they weighed just a little bit less? And he said, yes, that's the form. It has to have some substance, but it is related to the soul, and that's the eternal being. And he said, some people see, they see the spirit leaving. It's really the form leaving when they die. But so I asked him, I said, okay, he said, what do you know about me, Heidi? I said, well, I got on the internet, and I Googled you, and you kind of looked like the Tsar of Russia sometimes, some of the drawings, you know, short beard, and that you helped Thomas Jefferson write the Declaration of Independence. And he said, well, did I die? I said, I don't know. He said, yes, I did. He said, I was born. I did have a mommy. I did have karma with Thomas Jefferson, and I did die. Now, what do you know about Merlin? I said, well, he's always old. He has a long beard. He wears a great hat. He's a magician who just kind of comes and goes, and he helped King Arthur. And he said, Merlin is somebody who is eternal in form. He said, did you ever hear of him being born or died? I said, no. He said, he's eternal in form. So what he does is he really challenges me and my third dimensional mind on the possibilities. What is possible in this universe? I mean, we all know now pretty much if we've done spiritual work that we are multidimensional, that we exist everywhere. But in this book I'm editing, he's saying the journey of the human being is to separate and to come into where we create an ego, to have the experience of the ego. Then we then make our way home, which is what we're doing now. That's why we're in a huge evolutionary time right now, where we have the opportunity, well, do I want to stay in a third-dimensional consciousness where there's always duality and there's always polarity and us against them, or would I rather go higher? Would I rather go higher? And I think a lot of the people now are jumping out of the old consciousness, which is why things are so uncomfortable. They get so uncomfortable that they look around for something else. But he said, what he said in terms of predictions, what's happening is we're coming into the religious wars, which we've had for a long time, but that's going to accelerate. And people are saying, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. He said, that's also an agreement. And then we're going to have the spiritual wars. You mean you don't meditate 5 hours a day? You're never going to get enlightened. You know, that sort of thing is going to be happening more and more.
Yeah.
He said, then you get to a point where you let go of that and you just start walking into what is. And he said something last week. He said, what is now, is all there is. He said, they're all the same thing. So that's my next thing that I'm going into. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to understand that, but he challenges me.
Well, it is like I was writing a prayer the other day about how we come into this dimension, and then I realized, well, there's a lot of different ways of coming into this dimension. A lot of us just get stuck into thinking, and here is another agreement that we just get born into it, you know, comes down through a birth canal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's apparently many other ways, but most of us don't know those ways. So.
Exactly. Well, he did tell me some years ago that the birth canal is karma, and he said fewer and fewer souls are going to be incarnating as humans because karma's ending. They won't need to, and they won't want to come in as humans. So and what's happening with the evolution of the consciousness now is we're going to start looking at a tree right now. He talks about species agreements, and I said to Maxine, you know what? We've got to have something on cats and dogs and horses, and people are going to want to know what are their agreements with these beings, these animals, and plants and so forth. And he said, all trees belong to a group soul. And most cats and dogs and horses, there are individual souls who decide, well, I'd like to go in and see what it is to be a horse. and they may have an origin and a contract with us. He said, this is why people can look at their cat and think it's their soulmate.
Mm.
And they're so in love with them. You know, it is their soulmate. It literally is. But what's going to happen is as fewer and fewer souls incarnate as humans, there's not going to be some big catastrophe. The population will go down. But not because of a catastrophe. It'll go down because fewer souls are incarnating in human bodies. So what's going to happen in terms of our evolution is one day we're going to look at a tree and we're not going to see a maple or a pine or a spruce. We're going to see a soul. And we're going to relate to that soul to soul. And this is part of our coming back into oneness, where we're going to see our connection with all there is. Fascinating.
Well, yes.
Pretty exciting.
I think a lot of people are doing that now, which
mm-hmm.
is part of this great change that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Different people are at different places. Really interesting.
Yeah, certainly relate to the love I have for all animals, but we love our dogs, that's for sure. And,
mm-hmm.
And I just call them dog because that's the agreed upon word for them, but they just seem so incredibly evolved.
Yep.
And especially as they get a little older, I think puppies are absolutely brainless. But if they can survive, that period of time, you know, literally survive it without getting killed in some way, it's
mm-hmm.
amazing how responsive and how they understand everything, all words, completely. We had a dog that died in January of this year who was very, very responsive and almost. In your face kind of responsive. Now he left behind Ulysses, who is more subtly responsive. And he was sort of in the dog that died's shadow, and now
mm-hmm.
he has his own light, and I would never get another dog while he's alive, that is. Because
interesting.
He wouldn't want that. He likes to shine his own light,
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful to be basking in it. I think he would be very annoyed if we got a puppy.
Oh, probably. Well, sometimes they request it because I do talk to my cats through an animal communicator. And my cat that I have now, Zoe, she's 7 years old. She's the reincarnation of my cat who died in 2001. Mr. Little Baby Kitten, not terribly original name, but he left at 18 and swore he'd be back within 2 years, and it took about 2.5, and it was funny how that happened. A friend
mm-hmm.
of mine was interviewing a cat through this communicator, and the cat said, I don't have an appointment with her. I have an appointment with Heidi and Sadie, my other cat.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, and then we checked in with Sadie, and Sadie said, yeah, that's him. But now he is a she. Same personality, absolutely same. But in that life, he had some genetic problems. He was never a very
mm-hmm.
strong cat. So as he was leaving, I said, you know, if you're going to come back in a nice, strong body. Well, this cat is like a fullback. She is just solid muscle and energy and just runs us both ragged. And I work out of my home, you know, on the computer, and it's so funny because she's right in my face all the time. Oh, no, let's do this. So I keep threatening, I'm going to get a house with a door. I'm going to have an office
mm-hmm.
that has a door you can't get into. But it was fascinating when that all happened because even though we love them and then we grieve when they die, they can come back. But another cat of mine decided he wasn't going to come back at all. He's gone up. He's one of the Syrians now. He's gone up higher. So he's one of the healers.
Well, they're just amazing healers to begin with, and there's nothing quite like having them in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did have terrible grief when the one dog left. I can't understand, you know, why I would have such incredible grief when I didn't understand that, you know, I'm going to see this dog again.
I think it's part of the human
yeah.
thing. And I think it's a problem if we suppress it. Because
yes.
I saw that
yes.
happen with human friends of mine, you know, when a parent would leave and they weren't dealing with it. You know, you do have
mm-hmm.
to let that process. And, and when my parents both left, you know, people helped me with that. So,
right,
yeah. We still have the human component, you know, as long as we're still in a body. But we can be in a consciousness a higher consciousness and yet still hang on to a third dimensional body, which is, I find, very exciting. Especially it's exciting if the body is not aging. Like, oh, let's not age
right.
anymore. Let's just stay here and play.
Now, what dimension? We're not in the third dimension right now?
Well,
we are.
I think we're on a dimensional border right now, because I find I have days when I am totally fourth dimensional and I am just floating and everything's there as I need it. I am in bliss. And then other days, like today with the wind, I feel very third dimensional, but I also recognize that I'm in a transition right now. So I'm like, okay, it's not comfortable when these things happen, but they've been going on with me for so long that I just accept them. I'm like, okay, this is part of my ascension process or my shifting or whatever. So, yeah, I do think so. Did you ever read Karen Bishop's website, whatsuponplanetearth.com?
No.
And then her next one was Emerging Earth Angels. Right now she doesn't have one, but she does have a lot of books out there on a lot of the symptoms of what we're going through. And she's been very helpful. Now she's going to have something that she mails out to people, like maybe a monthly newsletter or something like that. It won't be on the internet anymore, but that's the last I've heard.
Karen
but I would
who?
Also, pardon me?
Karen who?
Karen Bishop, B-I-S-H-O-P.
Bishop.
Yeah, you can just Google her name and her website will come up. She's very helpful on those days when I think, oh, dear, I'm going Looney Tunes. And then I would read her posts. I'm like, oh, okay, that's normal. Whatever I'm going through is normal. So she has a lot of wonderful information.
Oh, good.
And Maxine as well. Maxine's site is great. Her site is, you can see free things on it, and it's also a membership site where you get a little more. You get a monthly message from St. Germain, what's going on this month, and what he told us about October. He said every October is a microcosm for the year that's coming. So if you get called for jury duty, try to delay that until November. Because who wants to spend the entire next year in jury duty?
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
And he also said voting. So I voted today. I don't know why voting would do it, but I thought, okay, he made that suggestion, so I'm going to go and do that. So I did early voting. And so he said for this year, our memories are going to get worse. Isn't that great? I'm like, oh, no, you're bad enough already.
Well, at least we should not be telling ourselves, oh, my gosh, you know, I have Alzheimer's disease. I don't know why
we're doing that. And he said the whole point of it is to get us out of the past, because a lot of old memories can be coming up and, oh, my God, I forgot that happened when I was 4 years old or 10 years old or whatever. And that's been happening for me, a lot of old memories. And releasing, and what we want to do then is eat. Even though we're not hungry, there's a feeling of emptiness, so we want to fill something up because some things are leaving us, and they're supposed to be. That's part of what's going on. Ultimately, we will be operating simply from soul, which is our eternal being, but we're in this time of transition now where the mind keeps getting in there thinking, oh, I have to do this and this and this. And ultimately, we can get to a place where just say, oh, let my soul handle it, and things will just fall into place. And I have had days like that where I think, I'll just stay here forever. This is wonderful. In fact, last year, about a year and a half ago maybe, when Maxine was still doing the monthly Saturday morning phone calls, now she's got the website, St. Germain would come and talk to us, and there were many, many people on the call. And he took us all. He said, for one day, I'm going to take all of you out of survival. And that day was extraordinary. I was just in bliss. I sat in the bedroom and stared out the window all afternoon with no sense of urgency or that I had to do anything. Wonderful. So I thought, well, okay, if that's where we're going, I agree to go there. You know, I agree that if I have to go through all this transitioning time, it was just wonderful.
That is fascinating, isn't it?
Yep, it really is. He's supposedly the architect of the Aquarian age that we are going into. I don't really know a whole lot about him.
I have that book. I've had that book up in my bookcase for years. Something about alchemy, Saint Germain and alchemy or whatever.
Mm.
And And, you know, they have a picture of Saint, there's a picture of Saint Germain on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
So now, of course, I will definitely read it.
Also, there are Saint Germain books. They're the green-bound books that are actually printed in this area, and I think it's in Schaumburg, and the I Am books, the I Am series. And it's not just Saint Germain. It's also J.C., it's Jesus, it's different beings. It's quite fascinating information. One of my favorite books that I recommend from my Heidi Walter site, too, is Conversations with J.C., and it was channelings by two women who channel Jesus. And they're just wonderful, wonderful little meditations for every day. And I don't think it's out of print. I think it's still sold through Amazon. It was for a while, I think. That's a wonderful book. And the Seth books, I don't know if you read those or not. I read those back.
Yep, I've totally read them all.
Yep.
Yeah. We had all kinds of Seth groups. Joan, have you ever read Seth books?
No. Y'all talking
a whole avenue
that I know nothing about.
Seth Speaks.
I'm just listening.
It was the first one, and then The Nature of Personal Reality. They're by Jane Roberts. Wonderful
yes.
books. I mean, I would read these back in the 70s, and after every chapter, I'd have to put it down because it just so. And then I started seeing auras, which then went away after a while. But you just get so open when he talks about when you walk into a room, you are creating that room with your own thought forms.
Yes.
It really challenges you the way Saint Germain does. It's like, well, let's look at what the reality is of this universe. You know, that some months ago, I was getting a reading. This made me laugh. And Saint Germain said, well, Heidi, you want to know everything, but the bottom line is you know nothing. And I said, I wanted to say, well, don't sweet talk it, you know, don't sugarcoat it, Saint Germain. Be straightforward with me. But that's true. It's like the human ego thinks, well, I have to know this and this and this. But really, when it comes to what we understand of the universe, there are things that we simply can't know in order to have our human experience. We can't know that. So we're blocked from it. But
do you
the mind
have
still...
an example of that, what we can't know?
Oh, boy. He talks about it in this book, but, you know, the way my brain's working, I can't remember right now. Once I find it, I can find it.
Which is part of the evolution, not to remember, right?
Exactly.
Forget it all. Yeah. Good.
I mean, don't you walk
cool.
into the kitchen and wonder why you walked into the kitchen? I came out here to get something. What was that? This is happening to me and all of my friends. We're all just kind of laughing about it. Like, oh, God. let me see if I can think of an example of that. What it is to be multidimensional. He did talk recently about Buddha when he reached that point where he got what is. When you see that what is, and I'm reaching towards that, that'll be a very exciting moment. When there's no need to fight or to be right or to be wrong, it's just what is. Very
well, this is, you know, what Eckhart Tolle is all about, and then Byron Katie too. They both of them were totally egocentric, kind of ego-bound people,
mm-hmm.
and they both had the same experience where they both went through what normally would be called a nervous mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them in their own way, and suddenly this incredible enlightenment. It's almost like the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Where they mm-hmm. suddenly became enlightened, and it wasn't like a moment of or a day or two of enlightenment, and then they went back to the same old way of
mm-hmm.
thinking. It was
life changing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was constant for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea is what is right here and right now, and
mm-hmm.
and reality. You know how we all fight certain things in our minds. You know how we fight injustices in the world, as an example,
mm-hmm.
how we fight, you know, genocides and
mm-hmm.
senseless murder and this and this and this. But in reality, the reality of what is, people will always be killing each other. Hopefully not, but it seems like that's what's going on and has been going on through the history of humankind. And
well,
these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does say that that has to happen in third dimension. He said if you've got the positive, because it's a place of polarity, you have to have the bad guys too. You've got the good guys.
And the thing
and the
is, yeah, and to just accept, or not even accept, but just to, murder.
Yeah, when you understand that's third dimension, that's why I think so many people want to jump out of that in their consciousness and go higher. You get into the fourth dimension, you know, get into the higher dimensions, you're in the dimension of your soul, so there's no fear because it's the ego that has the fear. If I'm in a consciousness where I experience that I am eternal, what on earth would I be afraid of? You know, it's just, you know, what, I don't care if anybody comes and robs me. Who cares? You know, I'm living forever. Now, the times when the ego really comes in are 10 a.m., 3 p.m., and 8 p.m., because that's when the body consciousness is at its most vulnerable.
Wow.
And what you notice, and I notice this, because the ego always comes in with stories. There's always a story that says, oh, this person said that to me, and then I said this, and then, you know, the righteousness starts coming up. I look at the clock when I start getting those thoughts, and I go, oh, 5 after 10. And I say, no, thank you, ego. I choose to be in my soul. Thank you very much. And then it just shifts. But pay attention to those times, 10 a.m., 3 p.m., and 8 p.m., no matter where you are. And that's when
now
the body...
Then there's the 3 a.m., 12 noon, and something like 3 p.m. And midnight, where if you meditate at those times, it's the most profound period of meditation.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yes, I think if we learn to work with all of this, we can pretty much sail through.
Another thing he talks about is, I made a video on it, the difference between third and fourth dimension, but I have to redo it because the audio is not very good. And it was before I got a microphone. But he says the highest level of the third dimension is spirituality. Mm-hmm. And once we have mastered spirituality, we're not interested in it anymore. We don't call ourselves spiritual. We just are, you know, and that's when we can then ascend into the fourth dimension. But we have to master spirituality first. So if people are interested in spirituality, wonderful, because that means they're on their way. He said, too, this is really cool. Their different generations have different things. So the boomers came here to hold a certain consciousness for spirituality. And if you think about it, because I'm in the boomer generation, if you think about it, there really wasn't a lot of talk about spirituality before the boomers. There was religion. There are a lot of different religions, which are all agreements, by the way. But then the boomers came, and now we have all these different alternatives, you know, to what to believe, because the boomers really explored that. Then you have, was it the Gen X? Is that what's next? And then the Gen Y. Then you had the millennials who started to get born in the 90s. And now the next generation, the first child of a millennial, so the millennials had to have been teenagers, was born on October 3rd in the Congo. And that is the first I am child. And the I am children will not have any human agreements whatsoever. They will get their information directly from the universe. So this is a girl, and she'll be a great leader. There will still be children of millennials who come in because of karma. But he said the village she lives in is very aware of this. They're very supportive of her. And she'll get only support there and will be a great leader. But what else did he say? Yeah, she'll get her information. Oh, I know. He said this is just as important as the birth of Jesus. He said she is the first cell of the second coming to actually be embodied in form. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
And more will come. More will come. He said by 2050 they'll be in positions of power and leadership. And that's changing the whole consciousness, of course, just as the boomers brought a different consciousness. Fascinating.
I'm glad that she's a woman. She's a girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he says our next president's going to be a woman, too. But he didn't say who. Mm-hmm. He said it won't be Hillary or Sarah Palin. But, he didn't say who.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That she's being groomed now, but, we're ready.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all very interesting, isn't it? So he makes a lot of he sounds a little bit like Seth.
Exactly,
Some of the things some of the things he says.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it seemed like only one person channeled Seth, and that would be Jane Roberts.
That would be Jane, yeah. And Seth was supposedly a group of beings, wasn't it? But they just took that
name. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Even though he downplayed that, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it gets confusing when you think, oh, dear, I'm talking to a group of people. It's better to just take one name.
Now, these people who channel,
mm-hmm.
I feel that they are a little in vulnerable positions. First of all, Jane Roberts died a horrible death, and this must be her agreement, as you say, and to me at the time it was shocking that somebody who had all this knowledge and she and her husband were always saying, well, let's ask Seth and let's ask Seth this, let's ask Seth that, seems
mm-hmm.
to me to be giving away their power a little bit. But anyway, they did that. They wrote voluminous volume, just all these volumes of books,
yeah,
which were helpful to everybody. But the thing is, she died this horrible death, and
she had rheumatoid arthritis.
And I'm reading this book right now by Sylvia Brown, who's so delightful. The book is called Psychic, and it's her memoir of being a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that the people who channel have insights into everything else but themselves.
Interesting.
Yes, so that answered my question.
Interesting.
That I've had all these years. Yes.
Well, when I did the past life work, I went to this place in New Mexico back in the 80s and early 90s. I was just, it was a compulsion. I had to do this. Or it was like, oh, my God. And when I heard about it, I read about it in Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb. So I found out about it there and then knew I had to go, just had to go. And I managed to get in. The first woman I called, they give you a list of names, and they say, see which name jumps out at you, which facilitator you want to work with. The place is called the Light Institute of Galisteo, and it's about a half an hour from Santa Fe. And this name jumped out at me, and I called this woman, and she said, well, yes, I have something in 6 months. I said, no, how about next week? that's old impatient Heidi. And she said, well, no, I don't really have anything. Then she called back the following week and said, one of the other facilitators who was very good had a cancellation, but I would have to come right out. And I paid $800 for that plane ticket. And that's how much I'm like, oh, my God, I'll be paying for this forever. And it was very, very powerful work, very powerful work. And what it is body work, where you're literally, you hold the memories in your emotional body, which lives in the solar plexus. And when you release these things, they come out into your aura. So after you've done a session, you go and you sit in a tub. You take a bath in apple cider vinegar because that helps to clean
mm-hmm.
the aura.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very powerful work. But this was leading somewhere, and now I can't remember because the brain's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Something about past life work. Oh, the woman, one of the people I worked with was from Brazil. And she'd been a tennis star. She decided she wanted to go into healing work instead. And so she told me there had been a very famous woman psychic in Sao Paulo who went crazy because she was seeing everybody else's stuff, all this stuff of everybody, but she wasn't dealing with her own. So she had to be institutionalized because she went crazy. So I would never want to have that gift. Right. Oh, my God.
No.
I have enough trouble dealing with my own stuff. I don't want to have to see everybody else's. So
I know.
Powerful. But Maxine is very grounded. She's very sensible. And so I don't see that in her at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting. Psychic is the name of the book. Because I also know Sonia Choquette. And she's a psychic here in Chicago. And she and her husband lived right around the corner from my sister and me about 30 years ago. And we used to get readings from her when we had $25. And now she charges a lot more. But she has a number of books out and CDs. And she told us at the time that her goal was to have us become our own psychics, you know, so we wouldn't need her.
Yes.
And so she would have little workshops and things like that. But she also
I've heard of
very
her,
grounded,
for sure.
Very grounded, very grounded. Yeah, she's written many, many books. She's done one called, it's like The Artist's Way, but she calls it Your Heart's Desire, I think. And some friends and I did that some years ago, where you create things and you put it in a box, you know, and you meet regularly and all of that stuff. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I have met psychics who are totally not in their bodies. And then having tremendous difficulty with their own bodies, with their own functioning. And then people like Maxine and Sonia who don't seem to at all.
Well, yeah, the Sylvia Brown book was just published in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she seems very grounded and very loving. And,
does she do readings for people still?
Well, you know,
sometimes they stop, you know.
Yeah, it seems to me that she is too famous to do that.
Probably, yeah.
You know, she's been one who has gone on the circuit of Larry King and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Fascinating.
Yeah, she is fascinating, and I don't know. She's older, and she's old enough that maybe she isn't interested in just meeting with people who are tortured anymore. You know, there's just so much of that.
If you see that a lot after a while, it's like, oh, it's too draining.
And then, and then you bring, you see the person who has passed on, and I don't know why everybody believes so strongly that there's nothing after this life, but that does seem to be something that a lot of people, that's why they fear death so much, is because they don't think there is anything after this. And I wonder, now, do you know, why would that be that belief is so ingrained in our mass consciousness?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yes.
He does talk about it in this agreements book, that we created the religions in order to understand what he calls the unknowable unknown. He said, now there's the knowable unknown. That's the realm of the soul. And we're coming into that. We're like, oh, I'm starting to get it, right? And then there's the unknowable unknown that a human cannot know. And so we created religions and rituals that surround the religions. You have to, you know, you can't eat meat on Fridays. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, you have to do this so many times. This is the only way you can meditate. These are all agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. So you think, now we're getting to the place where, well, if I am God myself, once we walk into oneness, if I am God, and this is what the I Am children are coming with, if I'm God, why do I need a priest? You know, these churches are all very pretty, but why do I need that? I am God myself, when we find that within ourselves. And then, of course, God is also in agreement. That's the part I'm working on right now, because we had a phone session last week, and I just transcribed it all, and then I'm going to be adding that to the book. Fascinating. You know, just after I get off one of these calls, I just have to stare at the wall for a while. Like, whoo, so much information.
When is this book going to be published?
Well, it'll be done by the end of November, and what Maxine's doing is adding videos and audios in it, so it's very interactive. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be only an e-book, and we have to think of a title. We're working on that now, and she's busy with other projects, and so I'm editing the whole thing for her.
Yes.
Probably by the end of November, and she has another book coming out first, I believe.
Now, does she have any published books?
She does on Amazon. She's got Take the Limits Off Your Soul, Desperately Seeking Purpose. I can't remember all the titles. She's got five or six books out.
That's
great.
She's
got,
Seeking
some good ones.
Purpose.
Yeah.
That is hysterical.
Yeah. Yep. Well, she asks people, what is your purpose? So she's always busy. In fact, she's going to be here this coming weekend.
Oh, you'll have fun.
Oh, yeah, doing readings, and she's doing some workshops and stuff. Her mother lives here, so come to see her.
So you do other things besides the Saint Germain stuff. This is just what you're doing right now, is editing this book. So
right.
Tell us, what other interests do you have?
Well, I have health and wellness. My website that I created, that Saint Germain talked me into, is all about my own healing journey and all of the different techniques that I use, the modalities. You know, I did the art of living, the healing breath. I was very, very focused. Once I decided I needed to heal, then the healing techniques just appeared. And then I would go through one and think, and I'd be looking around for the next. Okay, what's next now? Once I go through one, okay, I don't need to do that anymore. Then the next one would be there. Fascinating. And I did, and that's why I was led to the past life work. Psychotherapy was not enough for me. I needed to do it in order to understand myself and my family system better. But then I needed to do something else. I needed to go beyond that and deal with more of the spiritual. And so, and because of it, I inherited my father's highly strung nervous system. He died young of a stroke, and he was my model. So I became like that, and he was a hypochondriac, and that's what I became. And then I had to let go of all that and say, oh, no more sickness. No, we're not going to do this anymore. So I've had a lot of body challenges. So when I have found something in terms of a product that works, and one of those are the LifeWave patches, which I wear every day, and that I created a website on that too, patchforwellness.com, and they're wonderful. Where nothing goes in through the skin, nothing goes into the body, and people are getting rid of their pain and they're sleeping better, and it's wonderful. But the FDA does not know how to classify it yet because there's nothing else like it out there. And it's new. It's only, the company is only about 6 years old. So I've got that website, and I'm learning more and more techie things, how to, how does this all work? And, of course, doesn't remember it at all. I don't remember. Let's see, how do you do that again? So learning a lot of techie stuff. But I was very interested in spiritual, and I had put that on my profile on Facebook, spiritual, not religious. And then St. Germain in this book says that's also in agreement. So I went in and I removed it. And he said, the I am children who are coming will never call themselves spiritual. Very interesting.
So because they're already beyond that.
They're already beyond it, yep. Because he said they're part of the universe. They know that they are the universe. Fascinating. Because we're working our way back into oneness. So let's see, what else am I interested in? I was a photographer for many years. Then I got double vision in my shooting eye, which ultimately turned into multiple vision. I couldn't take pictures anymore. I did do the surgery where I had early cataracts, so I had implants put in so I could see distance. But the I didn't want to be a photographer anymore. So I thought, well, I'll get into the internet stuff and see what's going on there. So what else am I doing? So it can be very creative. I'm going to be redoing my website and putting a lot of my original photographs on it, make it more interesting and more moving. You know, like they have these galleries of photos now on the tops of websites, and I'm going to have that. And so it's sort of, I'm still in a learning process about all of this.
Yes, yes.
And I'm interested in languages, too. I spoke with my French teacher in Paris yesterday on Skype, and so I try to keep up my French. I was a French major in college.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What else am I interested in? Always interested in the spiritual things and different things, although there's no need, I feel, to go see the gurus anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a point where you say, well, that was nice, but it's not necessary anymore.
Right.
And one thing SG did say years ago, too, he said, gurus don't always recognize other gurus. You know, if you're at a certain point in your consciousness, others may not really see that. So what else? So you've had this program for about a year now.
It's going on 2 years.
Wow.
In March, yes. Uh-huh.
I have to get into the archives and listen to some of the programs.
Well, I find it interesting that you are affiliated with the Pat O'Brien people.
Oh, yes. The Siglo, what do they call themselves? The Siglo 4 or something?
Have you gotten involved with Pat's one-on-one?
The coaching?
The coaching, yes.
No, I have not done the coaching, but I find his Milagro world is wonderful. I go there and I say, does anybody know how to do Kindle? Boom, there's the answer right there. And I bought from Mountain Jim Fisher, I bought a book for $7 on how to put your, because I've written three e-books. I've got a book that I created with my chiropractor, Susan Borelli, and she did the drawings, and I found this book in the public domain and rewrote it. And it's a children's book, The Marvelous Cat and the Wonderful Dog. And that's part of my learning thing. Well, how do you put this together? How do you get the images in there? And how do, you know, all the how-to stuff. And so I want to put that on Kindle. And,
oh, good.
And other things. And this book says Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and Squibdy. And I had never heard of Squibdy before. Have you?
No. What is it?
It's another thing where you can sell digital products. And you get 80% of the sale. So I thought, okay. So that's what I'm exploring, too. And then I have an anti-aging skincare book. And then I have a book of chocolate recipes. chocolate for a happy heart. That's the book. And so this is all the last few years. It's been a learning on how all of this works. Last about 4 years.
Yeah, because I'm thinking you were at the Pat O'Brien University when we were.
When were you there, Joan? I was at the in Unseminar 3, and then I went to the Unseminar Elite, the second one.
Online. Were you not in the university online?
And that would have been prior to the book. The Portable Empire being published, and then it was published, and then he sort of disbanded the university. But I don't even remember when that was.
I think it was 5 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, I think he gets a little bored with things,
yeah,
and then
maybe
he goes on
he
to the
jumped.
Next. And
did you do Second Life with Pat?
I did very briefly, but I couldn't make those little figures do what they were supposed to do, so it was too frustrating for me. I said, okay, I'm done with this.
Because I feel like I've known you since those days. I think I knew you in those days.
I think so. Your name is very familiar.
Yeah.
Well, you have a different name on. Do you have the same name on Twitter now?
I'm Moonvine.
Moonvine. That's it.
I was Moonvine on Second Life.
That's right. I think we kind of met up there on Second Life.
Yeah.
There,
I think
trying
we,
to move
I
those little
so.
Figures around and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate was there.
Heidi, what was your name on Second Life?
Danged if I can remember. I'll have to go and look in my files because it's been like at least 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly enjoy Pat. Oh my God, he's so generous with everything that he shares, and I just love his sense of humor. You know, his opinions, and he just puts it right out there. Very much so.
Yeah, I like the Milagro world. I need to get back to it. But it hadn't been very active when I had gone back about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
But it probably comes and goes, and people drop in and drop out.
That's kind of what I've been doing because I've been so busy creating books and doing other things. Right now I started making a video on movie set locations in Chicago. And just
that's exciting. Just
something for fun for me. And I've already gone to two locations, one where the original studio where Charlie Chaplin was before he went to California, and then one where, I don't know if you saw the movie Road to Perdition, Paul Newman and Tom Hanks. It's very violent, but it was quite good. But there was a house in that was supposedly Paul Newman's home, and it was here.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so I've already done those two places, and I have to get it all done before the snow flies.
Yes.
And so that's something just fun for me to put together. And then I'll learn more about how to put things together and add music. And so I'm doing a lot of techie stuff. So it's kind of relieved that my computer kind of died about an hour ago. I'm like, oh, good, I don't have to work tonight. Oh, good, that's great.
Yeah,
it didn't die. I think it's the winds because the winds are so high today. And I have phone service. You know, it's through the phone company that I have internet. So I think that's probably the cause. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you another question because I couldn't talk about not remembering. the saint Ramana Maharshi is somebody who lived probably in the 1800s or so, but he was into the IM meditation, and then And then when we had our, we have a spiritual retreat center here that we just opened up in August. And one of the things we did for the 3 days that we were here was meditate on the I Am meditation by gazing into each other's eyes and doing the I Am, who are you? You know, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
I am, I am, I am, which evolved very quickly out of the third, out of this physical reality.
So
I was thinking that, I just think that there's a strong relationship between that meditation that we can help people with, because it's a very powerful meditation in light of the fact that there's this new generation coming in, the I Am generation.
And
so I'm interested in learning more about that. That's fascinating.
Me too. Absolutely. You might want to pick up the St. Germain Books then, or maybe even go to a library and see if they have them there and see if you like them. It's a green cover, kind of a dark green cover. It's not Kelly green. It's darker than that, and like olive green. And they're printed in Schaumburg. I'm pretty sure that's the I Am. Just, you can even Google it. Just put in the I Am. And but they're wonderful books, but not all of them are St. Germain. Now, there's an I Am temple downtown in the Loop here in Chicago. And my friend Kiki and I went there some years ago, and they don't let you into the inner sanctum. And in this book on agreement, St. Germain talks about that. He says the inner sanctum, you're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not, you know, he said, it's all agreements. It's all agreements. And I was laughing about that. I'm like, well, yes, you can be in this part of the building, but not that part of the building. It's a whole agreement, a whole belief system that has grown up around this.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I'll take a look at that. And the I Am generation would be.
They're starting just now.
And they're getting, and you said that the first person was born in this month.
Yep, it was October 3rd, and I said, a little Libra. Yep, and she's the first physical manifestation of the second coming. Fascinating. I mean, it's just, it kind of gives you goosebumps. You're like, oh, this is so exciting. And then by 2025, so many more will be here. By 2050, they'll be in positions of power and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But she will be very well known. She'll be very well known.
This is fascinating. Well, there's just no end to what the mind can expand. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, exactly. And if we can get the mind chatter, you know, to shut up sometime, and just, you know, let it happen. And that's why our memories are going more and more, because we're supposed to just be in the present and dealing with the soul. You know, the soul.
Yes.
You know, and I do that when, you know, that ego and the stories and, you know, all the old stuff starts to try to take over. I just say, it's too much trouble. You know, it gets to be where it's just too exhausting to go back into all that old stuff. So let's just be present here and now and have the soul just handle everything.
Yeah, just trying to.
Well, some days it works better than others. So.
Yeah, just trying to keep this all together with the mind is impossible. So I agree. It's best to just let it all go and enjoy.
One thing he suggests, too, is when we feel that anxiety is breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, because that brings you present in the body. And the body will breathe automatically anyway, but we can do it manually as well. And that, he said, that can relax the body. And and there are other breath techniques that people can use to calm down, because when we're going through a change, there's that tendency to get in a bit of a panic, you know, and get anxious, because there's a lot of changes going on. Whew. Too many, in my opinion. Pardon?
Yeah, it would be good to just remember to breathe, and that would just take care of so much.
Exactly. Just remember to breathe. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who does healings with me long distance sometimes says, "Are you breathing?" I said, "Oh no, I forgot." she can tell. She can tell.
That's funny.
Yeah. So this is very exciting that you guys wanted me on the show, and I can talk to everybody all about my guru, my teacher. Saint Germain, and I must have had a contract with him before I came here.
I think you did.
Yeah, there's some big connection going on there.
Yeah, you're in the throes of this book, and it sounds like editing books must be really, really fun.
It is and it isn't. The end result is it really is a feeling of accomplishment. But what I'm good at is making text flow. My parents were journalists, and I, even though I never was myself, I inherited a lot of that where I say, no, this doesn't sound right. It would be better if this goes up over here. So I'm very good at that kind of organizing. I'm very good at puzzles. But when I first look at it, I'm blank. And then when I work on it, then it starts to flow.
Right.
And it works better, you know. So yeah, it's pretty exciting, especially when it's material like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah, it's very it must be just like you're in the throes of something very exciting, and your mind is always working, even though you don't want your mind to work, like we were just saying. But still,
yeah.
Your mind is the more in touch it is with exciting data, you
mm-hmm.
know, the more alive you feel.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Well, we have come to the end of our hour. So.
Wow, that went fast.
Furious.
That went
fun.
Fast.
We
Wonderful.
Appreciate your being here. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And who are you having on next week?
I think next. Oh my gosh, we're doing a show on major depression. This gentleman disappeared from our lives for 15 years, and we thought he had died.
Oh.
And he. A very old family friend. We loved him dearly. He's just one of those inspiringly, you know, one of those people that you could sit around the kitchen table with and talk for hours.
Wow.
And suddenly he disappears. And I couldn't get anybody to tell me where he was. Well, that's because nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
And we all thought he had died. So finally, he just suddenly resurfaced that he had been institutionalized for 15 years, and because he was so depressed. So he's, I had asked him to come on the show a long time ago when he first got out of the institution, but he was not at all ready. Now he's all involved in life again, and he's going to come on and talk about major depression. But the interesting thing is, I think I hate to say this. I really don't hate to say it, but I think I'm going to be laughing so hard that. That might be the answer to major depression in and of itself, because
yeah, just a laugh. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be an hour of total joviality. Let's put it that way.
I have to listen. I'll definitely listen to that one. Oh, this is wonderful that you have this show. It's wonderful. People need to learn about a lot of things, and you're providing that.
Yes, we have all kinds of different people on here, and we enjoyed this was 2020, and Carol come on every month once. I think it might be the second or the third. Actually, it's the third Tuesday of the month,
mm-hmm.
and we have our friend the Astrology's Astrologer come on the second Tuesday of every month, and she is quite vibrant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Joan has grown to love her, haven't you, Joan? She's just wonderful.
Oh, yes. She's just
good. I have to listen to all of these. This will be my favorite thing to do every Tuesday night.
You're so sweet. We appreciate it. And we just love having you on, and we'll have you back, too.
Oh, excellent. Wonderful. I always have St. Germain stories.
Oh, good. Thank
you. Well, when you finally publish this book, then we'll have you back on. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. And having Maxine on, too, might be a good idea. She gets very busy, but I'll run it by her. And,
Thank you. That'd be really fun.
She's just, the information, it just keeps pouring out of her. I'll say, okay, we need a little bit more information here. And I get like 20 pages. I'm like, maybe that's a little too much information. But it is. It's just fabulous, fabulous information. Very empowering, because she teaches you in the book how to revise your agreements and let go of them. So
this is what we all need to learn, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you both for inviting me.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to be playing the music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen.
Ooh.
Thank you again, Heidi. You can just listen to this. Okay.
Sure enough. Bye.
Thank you.